أيها المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته so alhamdulillah we are starting during this Ramadan on the first day of our tafsir commentary on the Quran in English which we started last Ramadan and we followed up with only a single session after Ramadan. So now today is the seventh day of Ramadan. This Hijra year of 1447 corresponding to the 24th of February 2026. This is going to be the 15th Majlis from when we started. And we are starting with verse 28 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And you all know we are using the tafsir of Ibn Juzay, Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Juzay al-Girnati, the Granadan Mufassir and eminent faqih, the martyr, the shaheed. So we'll bismillah, our reciter.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم.
نعم. الله تبارك وتعالى said in this verse, كيف تكفرون بالله؟ How can you reject Allah? How can you reject God? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا While you were lifeless. You were dead, you were lifeless. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ Then he gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ Then he will cause you to die. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ Then he will resurrect you. ثم إليه ترجعون and then to him you will be returned. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض. He is the one who created for your benefit what is on the earth. ثم استوى إلى السماء. Then he turned to the sky. He turned his attention. فسواهن سبع سماوات and he made them into the seven heavens وهو بكل شيء عليم and he is the one who has knowledge of everything of all things sorry no eyes okay كيف تكفرون بالله This is an interrogative statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the essence of which is prohibition. It is prohibition and showing an apportion of blame. Here Allah Ta'ala is blaming those who reject and reprehending them. That how can you reject Allah? And kufr As we saw in the beginning, when he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ The meaning of Al-Kufr is covering up. So it is the meaning of kufr is rejection and denial, because that is the essence of covering up. When you reject something, it's something that is apparent, that it's clear, that you deny it. You deny it. So it shows deliberate lack of acceptance. So how can you deliberately reject God? Which means that the rejection of God is reprehensible and it's blameworthy, because it is a denial of what is obvious. Wakuntum amwata, this is the reason to show that your action is the action of those who reject God is reprehensible. He said, Wakuntum amwatan ay ma'dunin, you are non-existent, because when you that is in the backbone of your four parents, and also when you were in the form of a drop of sperm in the wombs of your mother, because that is non-existent. Nobody knows who is before somebody is born. He is non-existent. Nobody knows whether he will come or he will not come. It's only, you know, very few of the prophets of Allah that Allah has mentioned that they are going to come. So people will be in waiting for them, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked what was the beginning of your affair, he said, the prayer of my forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is when Ibrahim said, Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulan minhum. So Allah raised up among them a messenger from among them. So people were in waiting for him. But without the prophets of Allah, his coming had been foretold by past prophets. Who knows that there is going to be so-so and so, there is going to be so-so and so. So Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, هَلْ أَتَعَ لَلْإِنْسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has a time not come upon man when he was something that was not known, not mentioned? Nobody has mentioned it. That is because the essence of the ultimate lack of importance for something is that it is non-existent. Zero. There is nothing like zero. So has not a time come upon you when you were zero? You are non-existent. That should be enough to show to give you some humility. Because when you are something that is not known, that is zero, and then you came into existence, it means that your existence is by the will of another. So it is the will of Allah that brought you into existence, because you are non-existent. When you are non-existent, your existence or continuous non-existence is a possibility, because you are non-existent. Therefore, your existence is not obligatory. You don't have to exist. Your existence is by the choice of Allah.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you are non-existent. So you are not wajibul wujud. You are not. You don't have an obligatory existence.
Necessary.
That should.
Or a necessity.
You don't have a necessary existence. Yes. There is no necessity.
No.
Necessary exist, and that is the word. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, then he gave you life. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, then he gave you life. That is أَخْرَجَكُمْ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا, that is he brought you forth into the world. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, then he will cause you to die. الْمَوْتُ الْمَعْرُوفُ, you know, the known death. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then he will resurrect you. He will cause you to live again. He will take. He will bring you back to life. So that is the meaning of the second life. Bil ba'ath, that is on the day of resurrection. ثم إليه ترجعون, then it is to him you will go back. That is for al-jaza, for rewarding, for compensation for what you have done. وقيل الحياة الأولى حين أخرجهم من صلب آدم لأخذ العهد. Some ulama of tafsir, some scholars of tafsir, they said the first life, فأحياكم, is when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala brought you forth from Adam, from the essence of Adam, لأخذ العهد, to take the covenant. Because like Allah said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That is on the day of Allah to be Rabbikum, when Allah assembled all the souls of the son of the sons of Adam who would be created, and he took upon them the covenant. He said, Allah to be Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And they all said, Bala, no, you are not, no, definitely you are. So that is the first life. But that is a life that is alive in the unseen, not alive in reality. So the first interpretation of the verse is more authoritative, because what is meant by the life is this life. Allah has said, if that is the life that is meant, then it will mean we have three lives. The life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this our life, then the third life. While in the Quran, Allah says, أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ. You cause us to die, there are two deaths. That is the death of your non-existence before your creation, before your birth into this world. Then the death that will happen at the expiration of your time, at your appointed time, when you die. And then the life, وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ, and you give us life twice. This, the life of this world and the life of the hereafter. وَقِيلَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الثَّانِيَةِ إِنَّهَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Some ulama, they said that the second life is the life in the graves. وَالرَّاجِحُ الْقَوْلُ الْأَوَّلُ. But the most authoritative statement is the first statement, which was the first tafsir of the ayah. لِتَعِيِّنِهِ فِي قَوْلِهِ وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Because he said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَحْيَاكُمْ, he is the one who gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, then he will cause you to die. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then he will resurrect you, he will give you life again. Three points, فوائد ثلاث. الأولى هذه الآية في معرض الرد على الكفار وإقامة البرهان على بطلان قولهم. This verse is mentioned as a refutation of what the disbelievers believe, of what the disbelievers are on. وإقامة البرهان على بطلان قولهم, and bringing forth proof over the error of the misguidance and the falsehood and error of what they say of rejection. فَإِذَا قِلَ إِنَّمَا يَسِحُ الْإِحْتِجَاجُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمَا يَعْتَرِفُونَ بِهِ فَكَيْفَ يُحْتَجُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْبَعْثِ وَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ لَهُ. Now if it is said, how can proof be given to them over that proof should be over what they accept? Because when you want to bring up, when you want to refute a statement to a person, you have to build upon a premise, a basis, and the premise must be something that is known and acceptable to him. فَكَيْفَ يُحْتَجُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْبَعْثِ. If that is the case, how can we say that, how can we bring evidence for them based on resurrection while they don't accept resurrection? Because here the verse is saying, how can you reject Allah when you were dead, then he gave you life, then he will resurrect you? They don't accept resurrection. So how can this be an evidence against what they are saying? سوف الجواب أنهم ألزموا من ثبوت ما اعترفوا به من الحياة، والموت ثبوت البعث لأن القدرة صالحة لذلك كله. But this is it is an ilzam. That is, it is telling them that what you mean, what you say, it is obligatory for you to accept. Once you know that you are going to, if you accept life and also you accept death, then it will follow that the one who gave life and the one who caused death has the power to give life again. So even if they deny resurrection, that is not the essence of the refutation. The essence of the refutation is to establish the power of Allah over bringing life and taking it. Mm-hmm. So the one who has the power to give life and has the power to take life, he has the power to bring back life, to resurrect again. Mm-hmm. Yes. The second point is قوله وكنتم أمواتا في موضع حال. That is, while you were dead. فإن قيل كيف جاز ترك قد وهي لازمة مع الفعل الماضي إذا كان في موضع الحال. This is a subject of grammar, Arabic grammar. We don't have to translate it because it will not even be English will have a problem translating it, and this is not this is not an Arabic grammar class. The third point, أقفى فأحياكم بالفاء. He, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he mentioned the conjunction of he caused you to live, that is, he gave you life. لأن الحياة أثر الأدم ولا تراخي بينهما. فاء shows immediacy. Immediacy. Because وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم. You are dead, then immediately he gave you life. Because there is no interval between life and death. You are dead, for you to be alive, it will be immediate. Immediately death comes, or life comes, so there is nothing in between life and death. Because life and death, they are opposites. And they are opposite and contradictory to one another. There cannot be something that is neither alive nor dead. So that's why fa was brought. Fa, it shows in Arabic, you can mention sequencing of things either with fa or with summa. If you use fa, it is immediate without an interval. But if you use summa, then there could be an interval. That is why he says summa yumitukum, summa yuhiyikum. Then he calls you to die, because in between بِثُمَّ لِلْتَرَاهِ أَلَّذِي بَيْنَهُمَا, because of what is between them, between your life and your death, and also between your death and your resurrection. Because after death there is the period of staying in the grave before you are resurrected. Also, when you are given life, there is a period of existence before death comes. So that's why summa, which shows an interval, was used. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When Allah says he is the one who created for your benefit, for you. Here it says alam in Arabic, it shows that is for your benefit. For your benefit, he created all that is, he created ma, all that is in the earth, for you. Lakum, for you. He says, fihi dalilun ala ibahati intifa'i bima fil ard. This is a proof that you can use all that is on the earth, it is permissible. Anything that is on the earth is permissible for you. except what has been made impermissible. So this is a favor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he has, they say, al-aslu fil ashya al-hil, the fundamental rule regarding all things on earth is that they are permissible. Everything is permissible. So if something comes that is new, no, something that is new and you never know it and it is on earth, that is permissible. So like robotics, use of robots, robotic dogs, robotic industrial workers, robots, for the use of AI, yes, artificial intelligence, it's all permissible, all is from Allah. You think you discovered it, that's why you didn't create AI, but you discovered it. Because it is all there, it is all part of the creation of Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ أَيْ أَقْعَدَ لَهَا, that is, he turned his attention to, it doesn't mean that Allah has got a divided attention. That is, he faced, that is, he willed regarding the sky. وَالسَّمَاءَ هُنَا جِنْس, what is meant by السَّمَاءَ here is all that is above, anything that is above us. وَلِأَجْلِ ذَلِكَ أَعَادَ عَلَيْهَا بَعَدَ ضَمِيرِ الْجَمَاءَ, that's why he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ. So because they are, what is meant by السَّمَاءَ, the heavenly bodies. Then he turned to the heavenly bodies, فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ, and he made them into seven. فَسَوَّاهُنَّ أَحْسَنَ خَلْقَهُنَّ, that is, he perfected the creation of the heavenly bodies. كقوله فسواك, just as Allah said فسواك, he perfected you, فعدلك, he made you perfect. وقيل جعلهن سواء, it is said فسواهن, he made them to be equal to one another. فإذا, this is another point of importance. هذه الآية تقتضي أنه خلق السماء بعد الأرض. The apparent meaning of this verse will mean that the heavens were created, the sky was created after the earth. وقوله والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها ظاهره خلاف ذلك. And then when Allah تبارك وتعالى in Surah Al-Naziat, he said, أنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها. And then the earth after that, he made it the way it is, الدحيو, that is, he made it balanced, he made it the way it is, as with its geography, with its physical structure, and so on. And the meaning of dahaha is akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha. He brought out of it its water and its mar'a, that is its structure, that is the animal feed. So this, the creation of the earth is mentioned after the creation of the heavens in this, in that verse in Surah An-Nazi'ah. He said antum ashaddu khalqan am as-samaa banaaha, that is, he built the heavens. And then he said wal arda ba'da dhalik, and the earth after that. So which came first? The heaven. In this Surah An-Nazi'ah. But here in Surah Al-Baqarah, he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. So apparently, which came first in this verse? Is it the earth or the heavens?
The earth. No, the earth. It's not very clear. الخوف ثم استوى الى السماء فسواهن لا يزال سماوات
الرزق
يعني لا رب كافي.
But making them into seven.
Yeah.
But then when you come to Surah Al-Fussilat, أتذكرون الذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان because it shows that السماء was there but the creation of السماء and making them into the seven heavenly bodies that came after the earth. So this is why, you know, some people, they are saying that the meaning of Sab'a Samawat is the planet. The planet. So a reference to Samawat is Sab'a, is the planet. The seven planets of the solar system. There are nine planets of the solar system so far discovered. Because Pluto was discovered much, much later. Allahu A'lam what he means by the seven heavenly bodies. But this is one of the explanations that the seven heavenly bodies, what is made here, are the planets. So the other planets, they came after the creation of the earth. Now,
astronomy, we see that the earth is part of the solar system. And it is a big ball rotating on its axis and then accumulating the sun. So, how do you then imagine what the Samawat is? We are already hanging somewhere because the earth is not flat. The earth was flat. So it is a big ball rotating on its axis in the deep
suspended.
Yes. Big sky. That sky is Samawat.
By the meaning of sky here, yes, the sky is the Samawat is the sky. But then Sab'a Samawat, the seven heavens, means there are specific creations that are numbered as seven in the heavens, in the sky. That is why some people, they say that it is the planets. Reference is to the planets. That is what is meant by the Sab'a Samawat. But definitely, there is no clear clear text specifying what are the seven heavens. It may be this is part of what Allah has left to himself. Because now that people are able to observe the radiations coming from outer space that show the existence of several heavenly bodies, the actual meaning of the seven heavens, as mentioned in the Quran and also in the other scriptures the other scriptures, then definitely only Allah knows what is meant by that. Yeah, the ones in the Isra, the ones mentioned in Isra, she is all part of what is of the unseen, the reality of which we cannot compare it with what we know of astronomy now. To say that when the first heaven and the second one and the third, and everywhere that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved up to Sidratul Muntaha, we can't compare it with what we know of astronomy today, because this is something that is outside the material world. Even though we believe that the Isra was physical, it was not spiritual journey. It was physical, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has power over everything. We do not know exactly how the stations were, but we believe in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, because definitely our knowledge is restricted. Our knowledge is restricted. Even what we have as the source of our knowledge, all that we have as the source of human knowledge now, it's all subject to interpretation. Because you receive signals, you receive radiations. They are the things that make you, they are the things that you receive, which you then go and make interpretations using mathematical calculations and so on, and then you say this is how it is. And that is why these are all susceptible to error. Because sometimes you will have a different interpretation will come, which will change what the previous interpretation has said. Anyway, Naam. We are given of little. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You've been given of knowledge except little. So here, this apparent contradiction, the explanation for this, as Ibn Juzay rahmatullahi alayhi said, أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ خُلِقَتْ قَبْلَ السَّمَاءِ. That is, the earth was created before the heaven, before the sky. وَدُحِيَتْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. And then it was made the way it was spherical, الدَّعْيُ. That is, it was made in the form that it is, whereby the elements of the earth were brought forth out of it. Let me see the actual. Now, Ad-Dahyu is the spreading of the earth, but giving it the way it is, giving it its pattern. You see, the earth is spread, even though it's like a ball, it's spherical, but it is flat. As far as you can see, it is spread and flat. فراش as we said, الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا. ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا. You see, you will see the spherical nature of God. I was in Jeddah. Our room was facing the Red Sea. And you can see the spherical nature of that from the horizon. From the sea, exactly. So I was just facing the sea, the Red Sea, and you can see it. The spherical shape. You can see the spherical shape. And you can see at the extent, as though, you know, something is falling behind. What? Joy. What is joy? Joy. Okay, that is the meaning of joy. Like of an yes, you know, you can feel it as though it is falling like this. You can see it from afar. As though if you are going, you know there is a hole that where you will fall down. So that is the obvious, you know, spiritual nature of the earth. Even the way the sun is falls, yeah. So that is, they say that the spreading of the earth, it came after the creation of the heavenly bodies. Mm. So that is the meaning, not that, so that there is no contradiction. Yes, the earth was there, but it preceded the creation, the turning of the creation of the seven heavenly bodies. But that does not mean, as we said, that the sky, that the earth existed before the sky. والآخر, the second point is تكون ثم لترتيب الأخبار, that this is just there is no this is the sequence of the information that is being given. It's the sequence, the first information that was given is the creation of the heavens, then the information about the creation of the earth, but it's not the sequencing of their actual existence or the actual creation. نعم.
وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون
وإذ قال ربك للملائكة. And remember, this is addressed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And remember, O Prophet, when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, I'm going to place on the earth a vicegerent, a representative. قَالُوا أَتَجَعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ. They said, are you going to place on it who will spread mischief on it, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ, and spill innocent blood, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, while we are praising you with thankfulness to you, and وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and we are adoring you and declaring your purity over all that is not that should not be associated with you. Qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. He said, I know, but he said, I know things that you do not know. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all the names of things. ثُمَّ عَرَبَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he showed them to the angels. He presented them to the angels. That is Allah, God. He presented them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you indeed are truthful in what you say. قالوا, they said, سبحانك, may you, glory be to you. لا علم لنا, we do not have knowledge, إلا ما علمتنا, except what you have taught us. إنك أنت العليم الحكيم, you are the all-knowing and the all-wise. Then he said, Adam, tell them the names of these. When he told them their names, Allah said, Alam aqul lakum, did I not tell you, inni a'lamu ghayba as-samawati wal ard, that I know what is hidden in the heavens and the earth. Wa'alamu ma tubdun, and that I know what you reveal, wa ma kuntum taktumun, and what you used to conceal, or what you conceal. This is the creation of Adam.
So, there was also a discussion between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels before this discussion again in between Adam and them. Because it shows that didn't I tell you that I knew what you didn't know.
Like something before? No. It is as though you have known that I know what is hidden in the heavens, and know what, and I also know what is upper, what is manifest. That is because they know, they have the knowledge of Allah, but it is like Allah is reminding them that this is an evidence. But what you know regarding Allah is indeed the way it is. Because that is part of the knowledge of the unseen of Allah, which the angels did not know. So this is just, you see, sorry, you've already taken us into the tafsir of the ayah. You see, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we have to contextualize, you know, the revelation of the Quran. You know, people, they used to believe that the angels have got power of doing what they like in creation, in the universe. And that's why there are people who worship the angels. Others, they believe the jinn. The jinn, they have that knowledge of the unseen. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse is showing that the knowledge of the angels is not the knowledge of the unseen. They don't know the unseen. They themselves, there are things they do not know. Just like in Surah Saba, he showed to us that the jinn, the demons, they do not know. They don't have knowledge of the unseen. فَلَمَّا خَرَّ تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ مَا لَلِسُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ. When Sulaiman fell, after his death, it became clear to the jinn, if they had knowledge of the unseen, they would not have continued to be in that despicable state of punishment, of manual level. So you see, the context is, you know, in the statements that are being mentioned, even the discussion in the hiwar, it imports in it issues of belief, of rightful belief, of correcting the wrong beliefs of people, which is the essence of what the Quran is. That's why we always say the Quran is not a book of story. It is a book of guidance. You know, in relating the discourse or the discussion, as you mentioned it, between Allah and the angels. When Allah is mentioning it, it entails in that issues of guidance for us. Al-Malaika jam'u malak wa ikhtalafa fi waznihi. That is Malaika, this is Arabic. What is the actual form of it? But Malaika is the plural of Al-Malak, an angel. Faqila fa'alun sammim asliya wa waznu Malaika ala hadha mufa'ala. Waqila hiya min al-uluka. It says that Malaika is from al-uluka. Here risala, that is a message. Message. So al-Malaika, they are the ones who bear messages. وَفَوَزْنُهُ مَفْعَلْ وَوَزْنُهُ مَعْلَكْ ثُمَّ حُذِفَتِ الْحَمْزَةِ وَوَزْنُ مَلَائِكَ عَلَى هَذَا مُفَاعَلَ ثُمَّ قُلِبَتْ وَأُخِرَتِ الْحَمْزَةِ فَسَارَ مَفَاعَلَ وَذَلِكَ بَعِيدٌ. But he prefers that it is جمع ملك, the plural of الملك, that is the one who but then al-malak, not al-malik. Al-malik is different from al-malak. So but thank you. Al-malaika is it is they are the creation of Allah, whose the majority of whom they reside, they are in the heavens. Khalifa huwa Adam alayhi salam. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ اسْتَخْلَفَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Because Allah made him a vicegerent on earth. A vicegerent is a representative. You know, vicegerent normally is a word that has been used to denote someone who has been sent by an emperor or a king to go and represent him. Like his envoy, like his ambassador. the ambassador does what the one he is representing has seen to do. He is there on account of who sent him. The sovereign sent him, and he represents the sovereign. That is the meaning of Khalifa. So this is a very enormous position that Allah has given Adam alayhi salam and his children, that they are the envoys, the vicegerents of the sovereign God, the Creator. They are here to do His will, to do His bidding.
Adam and his
progeny. Yes.
Not just Adam. So we are
vicegerents of Allah. Yeah, that's why we are. That's why messengers are sent to us to do the bidding of Allah. We are all vicegerents of Allah, and that is why we have been given this supreme position. That everything was subjugated to us. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُم مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ. He subjugated to you all that is in the heavens and the earth, all of it for your benefit, for you, because we are here to do the bidding of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to do what Allah wants for us to do on earth. So you know, this a concept, this shows to us, you know, the importance of man on earth, and the central position of God on earth, and the fact that and it also shows to us the purpose of our existence here. We are here to do the to execute the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it gives us knowledge of our purpose, and this is something that is very, very important in life, for you to know what you are doing, what you came to do. I mean, imagine somebody sent as an ambassador by a sovereign to another country without any mandate. Without any mandate, he doesn't know what is. What is? He doesn't even know what is the meaning of ambassador. And he's just sent there. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he is. what he is expected to report back, all he doesn't know. How do you think such a person may behave? Isn't it the epitome of confusion? Essence of confusion. Some ulama, they say the Khalifa is only Adam alayhi salam. وَقِيلَ ذُرِّيَّتُهُ لِأَنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ يُخْلِفُ بَعْضًا because they face one another. So Al Khalifa is from Al Khalaf, not from Al Istikhlaf. Al Awwalu Arjah. But the first is the most is the strongest opinion. Walau arada thani, if it is the progeny of Adam, he will have said khulafa. But then it could also be said that khalifa is jinns, that is the jinn. What it means, that is the reality of the entity, because it's not only Adam that has been made khalifa. Ya Dawoodu, inna ja'alna ka khalifatan fil ard. O Dawood, we have made you our vicegerent on earth. So anyone who executes the will of Allah is the vicegerent of Allah. And every human being has he is placed on earth to execute the will of Allah. And by virtue of that, he is a khalifa. He will be khalifa of Allah if he executes the will. If he does not, he does not qualify to be the khalifa. He does not qualify to be the khalifa. Now there is khulafa also. Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ. Surah Yunus.
وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ.
نعم
blood.
Hey, we'll come to that. Yes, we'll come to that. نعم أتجعل فيها. This is a question. سؤال محض لأنهم استبعدوا أن يستخلف الله من يعصيه وليس فيه اعتراض. They are not challenging Allah over what he does. When they said أتجعل فيها, they are not challenging. But they are just asking that, are you going to place Allah on earth as your vicegerent, someone who is going to be disobedient to you? They are asking, is that possible, or what is the wisdom in that? Exactly. Just wait. لأن الملائكة منزهون عنه, because the angels they are purified from doing that kind of challenge to Allah. They can't challenge Allah. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يأمرون. وإنما علموا أن بني آدم يفسدون بحيلان الله إياهم بذلك. They knew, because Allah informed them, that the children of Adam, they were going to do that. وقيل, it was said, كان في الأرض جن فأفسدوا. There were the demons on earth, and they did fasad. They created corruption and mischief. وبعث الله إليهم ملائكة فقتلهم. So Allah sent the angels to them, and the angels killed them. فقاس الملائكة بني آدم عليه. So the angels, they made an analogy. They said they will be just like them. So they could be other creations. This is what was said also. Some of the Mufassirun, they said there were some creations before Adam on earth. And they did spread corruption on earth. And Allah sent the angels to destroy them. Who knows, they may be the dinosaurs.
Some historians suggested that there were some creatures almost human, that existed on earth
before mankind. What are they called?
Neanderthals.
Oh, Neanderthals. The Neanderthals?
Yes.
Okay, the Neanderthals, exactly. Okay, those are the people, the evolutionary people. They said that they were a kind of a generation that existed. Yes. So only Allah knows, but it shows that the angels did have knowledge that the children of Adam, they will spread corruption on earth. Either that Allah informed them, or they had witnessed a generation, a type of creation that occupied the earth and they spread mischief on earth. ونحن نسبحه اعتراف والتزام للتسبيح لافتخار. Here when they said ونحن نسبح بحمد, while we are glorifying you and praising you, will that be a kind of boasting? The angels, that is a kind of boasting?
No.
Can we call it boasting?
No,
you can't. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. They are pure. They will not boast. This is اعتراف والتزام. That is, we recognize that this is what we are. And we accept to be doing tasbih to you. And we know tasbih is what you want. But are you going to bring those who are going to be disobedient to you? So they are saying it in a position of an i'tiraf, of declaration of the truth. You see, that is why when somebody is in the presence of being asked about something regarding the religion, and he knows that he has knowledge, and the people that are around, nobody knows that, there is no harm to say, all people, me that you see, I am a memorizer of the Quran. I have done the tafsir of the Quran. I know the fiqh. You declare your credential. That is not boasting, because you are doing it in a place for a reason. The reason is that people will not go and be misled by someone who does not know, while there is someone who knows. In such a situation, there is no harm for you to declare your credential. I am this, I am that. But if not, in such a situation, you will be doing disservice to Islam. You'll be doing disservice to your religion to say you are doing tawadu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. They say Allah gafa tamana Rajiri. That is not a position of humility, because if you do that, it will be you are doing disservice to the religion, you are misleading others. Bihamdika, when he said Nusabbihu, at tasbih is glorifying Allah. That is saying the mentioning the perfect attributes of Allah, that is tasbih, coupled with bihamdika, that is coupled with your praise. Ay hamidina laka, are praising you. Wa taqdir nusabbihu, we are singing your praise. Multabisina bihamdika, while in a state of also declaring praises to you. Fa huwa fi mawdi al-hal, that is, it is explaining their attitude when they are doing the tasbih. Wa nuqaddisu lak, nuqaddisuka ala ma'na nunazzihuka aw nu'azzimuka, that is, we are glorifying you, and we are declaring your nazaha, that is your purity from all that is associated with you but is not deserving of you. وتكون اللام في لك للتعليل أي لأجلك, that is, we are glorifying you for your sake. أو يكون التقدير نقدس أنفسنا أي نطهرها لك. That is we are purifying ourselves from declaring regarding you what is not befitting to you. When Allah says ما لا تعلمون أي ما يكون في بني آدم من الأنبياء. What you do not know is those that will exist in the sons of Adam, of prophets, and al-awliya, rightful slaves of Allah, وغير ذلك, and other things من المصالح والحكمة, from the good things and the wisdom of Allah that is entailed in the creation of Bani Adam. Because Allah has got utmost wisdom. So how could Allah allow what is happening on earth of shedding of blood and so on and so forth? But that is the wisdom of Allah. Because when there is a lot of corruption on earth, then Allah brings those who will correct the corruption and set things right. That shows the enormous power of Allah. Because their position, what the prophets have done, it will not be appreciated if there was no corruption. If there was no corruption, will not appreciate the position of the prophets of Allah. The persistence of Islam after all these years, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shows the truth of Islam. Because if there was no corruption, we will not see that beauty of Islam. So we'll stop here. Inshallah, during the next verse, we'll start al-asma, the tafsir of al-asma kullaha. Naam. Amin. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.